CliffCentral.com.
George, hi.
Hello.
Happy Friday.
Ben, happy Friday to you too. Hello,
Sia. Friday.
How's Yay, it? Hi, George.
Been having a good week?
Yeah, having a good week. I went through the motor show over the weekend and last week. And,
In
Kailami, yeah.
You've been going through the most. I mean, new dad, a lot of work on the go here.
Mm.
The joys of spring.
Uh-huh.
And yet you still look like you do every other day.
Well, yeah, hopefully. The duck's feet are going 1,000 miles an hour under the water, so...
just paddling.
You just can't see it.
Yeah. Good analogy. Well, you are here, of course, to talk about cars. So, like, wrap up the week. Now, earlier in the show, I don't know if it's in your story, but I want to touch on it anyway. Ford are again experiencing some rather explosive revelations in that they've got to pull back a whole bunch of those big trucks from America for seatbelt stuff?
Yeah,
how
you know,
that story?
The problem with a lot of these recalls is not the manufacturer themselves, but the third parties that provide the, thank you, the third parties that provide the products that go into the vehicles.
Oh. Right. I mean, that's when Toyota were experiencing troubles because they started to cut corners a bit on these third party people.
Yes. So you know, and you know, when are the manufacturers going to put in rigorous processes and rigorous analysis to make sure that especially the safety equipment in a car meet certain standards. Now, I suppose you can't cover everything. You know, you can't be in that factory that a third party produces products 24/7. But maybe that's the answer. Maybe sticking a manufacturer person inside that factory is not a bad idea. And maybe they have it already. But often it comes down to these third parties that every business tries to reduce costs because every business is capitalist and you want to make a profit.
Exactly.
So therefore, you're going to get 10. And you're going to get companies to pitch, and sometimes, that's where the issue lies.
Oh, damn right! Because everyone's going to be pitched all kinds of things, and they can bring their margins down. Mm. And you think, well, how hard can it be? They've got a track record, but these things do happen.
Mm.
And also, even if you are so diligent and you got everything together, things still can happen.
Slip through the cracks,
exactly.
You can't. Because, I mean, unless you're in control of that manufacturer, it's hard. It's really
but
hard.
But also, again, like when you go into huge volumes or whatever, you can't really control the quality as much as you would like to. But anyway, so that is manufacturing.
It's one of those things. Yeah, so in the motoring world in South Africa, the government has given a gift to consumers. But this gift, I think, is a ticking time bomb.
Well, yeah, if it's not a Trojan horse or a ticking time bomb, I wouldn't accept much from
that. Because they've given once-off temporary relief on the next fuel price increase. We should have actually had somewhere between 28 and 38 cents increase in the fuel price on the 5th of September.
Yeah.
But we're only having a 4.9 cent increase because, it goes down to the wage increases that the forecourt employees need to get. So that's what the increase is covering. And the rest of the increase is being swallowed by the government.
Well, they do have some fat to play with.
They do have some fat to play with, but I just don't see the fuel price is driven by a very, very strict formula based on oil prices, rand dollar exchange rate, and taxes, and that formula has been used for years and years and years. You know, unless you overhaul that formula, this fuel price increase could come back to bite us.
It's true because whenever anything irregular comes into a market that's been going forever, it's going to hit you somewhere else.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just a no-brainer. But the thing is, there's so much pressure on these guys.
Yeah.
That the fact that we just had a huge petrol price increase, and now this thing, I think there would have been strikes, there would have been riots, there would have been all kinds of things.
But maybe it's just delaying the inevitable because...
Well, it's also just reactive government, which these guys are so good at.
Exactly.
Fail to plan and all you're doing is just failing.
Yeah. And My personal sense is that the tax levy needs to come down. That's the only way to fix this.
Exactly.
You're not going to bring the oil prices down. You're not going to significantly affect the rand dollar exchange rate overnight. You've got to chip away at this beast one chip at a time.
Mm.
And that starts with that fuel price levy.
Damn right.
But in France, Scania has developed or designed a fuel that they can put in their Scania bus that's made out of wine.
Okay.
Obviously not good wine.
I mean, how it's do made you out reach of wine. That point?
So what they do is they take the skins, the pulp, and the seeds and the stems that are the leftovers from extracting the liquid,
mm-hmm.
And they put this through a process which turns that pulp into ethanol.
And that then fuels
this bus. So this bus is doing a 50-kilometer round trip between Bordeaux and Blaye. And they're testing to see, you know, what the effects on the vehicle are, and apparently already they see a 50% reduction in nitrogen oxides that are produced out of this vehicle.
I wonder who the first person to think of that was, and how seriously people around him took him or her as soon as they mentioned it. Like, guys, brainwave.
Wine.
Probably after about 6 bottles.
That's.
And then another strange story. Some guy found an old Yamaha motorbike in a felt somewhere in Montana, and hauled this motorbike home. This was a Yamaha, and decided to start restoring it. Yamaha XS650, and he distills whiskey at home, and out of the rubbish that comes through on the head of the whiskey,
mm-hmm.
decided to take this junk that he would normally throw away and try and purify it and put it in the motorbike, and it's effectively vodka, and this motorbike now runs on vodka.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. These people who live in rural areas, they're getting things together.
Unbelievable.
Well, the bottom line that I'm getting a sense of here, George, is that alcohol is saving the world.
That's what it is. I mean, I don't know how long these things will last with the electric vehicles, but
we don't need to know.
But at least people are trying, you know. And then I'm sure you heard about Lego having built a life-sized Bugatti Chiron out of Lego.
I did not. That sounds brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's
Wow.
It looks like the real thing. It's life really does. Size. It's not a scaled version.
Oh, wow.
It's built out of 1 million Lego Technic pieces.
And how many children built it, George?
Don't know. If children were involved, because this seems to be quite a technical feat.
Mm.
And apparently, to get the smooth surface over the Bugatti, Lego had to design a unique triangular piece that goes over the skin of this Lego model. But that's not all. This thing drives.
Wait, this Lego car actually moves?
Yes. So, wow. So while it doesn't produce 1,000, almost 1,500 horses like the original version, it produces 5.3 horsepower.
So, obviously, they've got some like batteries in there.
Yes. Yeah. So they've got a bunch of techno and electric motors inside this Lego model, and it does go very slowly, but it does drive. Believe it or not.
Wow. That's incredible.
It's incredible what Lego can produce. I mean, I remember the days of Lego. The blocks were only square.
Well, exactly. Then you got some slightly more irregular ones, and then there was like those sheets.
Yes.
Like you could build a police station.
Oh, yes. Okay. And then there was, you get the whole bucket, and you can build. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then lastly, this weekend's Formula One race was disappointing, to say the least. You know, I think Ferrari is the stronger team. They've got the faster car. Mm-hmm. They're just not putting their strategy together effectively enough. And Vettel, his emotions are showing again. You know, Raikkonen did the fastest lap in Monza over the weekend on Saturday. But he only got that fastest lap because the team's strategy was to put him out behind Vettel on Q3,
mm.
and as they put him out behind Vettel on the last couple of corners, he was able to slipstream Vettel over the line, which meant that he came on pole.
All right,
dumb strategy number one. I would have put Vettel behind Raikkonen and let Vettel get the slipstream and make sure that Vettel's on pole because he's leading the championship. There's no way that Raikkonen can win.
Of course not.
And it's better for the team. And then on Sunday, because it was Raikkonen, Vettel, Hamilton on the grid, obviously the two Ferraris didn't want to let Hamilton by. Hamilton got alongside Vettel, and Vettel crashed into the side of him. Now I would have given up second place rather and stayed in the race.
But again, like I think when Hamilton gets the position where he starts winning, it does get very, very boring because we've been hoping for this Ferrari resurgence.
Exactly.
But just on that, I mean, I know we'll probably never know the full story, but do they essentially, do Raikkonen and Vettel have the same car? I mean, I know they're all set up and there's certain things you can take into it, but would it be fair to say that they both have it at the same Ferrari when it comes to performance and that kind of stuff?
So the only thing that's noticeably different on the two Ferraris is the steering wheel. But apparently each driver gets to set up their own steering wheel. You don't have to take the steering wheel that comes standard with from the engineers. You can change the buttons and the locations and stuff. And journalists have noticed that Vettel has a button on his steering wheel that Raikkonen doesn't have. And nobody knows what it is.
Bluetooth.
Probably. and they've analyzed this button seems to get used on the start somehow. But nobody knows what it is yet. So that's the only difference that I've read about that exists between these two Ferraris. Otherwise, they're the same car.
Mm. I always just find that so interesting. Ever since I watched that Senna movie. Was it Senna? No, Rush with with Thor. And like, you know, how they build the car up. And obviously back then it was a lot more sort of like spanners and wrenches. Nowadays it's more laptops and like, you know, Scandinavian men. But it's fascinating what goes into that kind of stuff. But we never really will know the full story behind these things.
We won't. But, I still think that Mercedes's strategies are a lot more mature and a lot more level-headed.
They seem more solid, yeah.
They're more solid. I mean, I'll never not be a Ferrari supporter, but... you know, that was a dumb move on the weekend. They could have kept that the championship alive. It still is alive.
Yeah.
But Hamilton's pulled a gap.
But I guess when you are the chasing pack, you need to do things that are irregular. You know, it's crazy when you are the incumbent, the leader, you can be more sort of concise and more sort of sedate with these things.
Yes.
Take less challenges or chances. George, anything else before we wrap up the week?
That's it.
Awesome.
Well, guys, that's been a good week. Nice to have George in, as always. CliffCentral.com. Go onto the Audio Central page. You get all the latest podcasts. CliffCentral.com.